I don't think there's any question that Jesus Christ is the most important person in the New Testament. And maybe, probably, you would say the Apostle Paul is the second most important person. But who's the third? Peter? John? One of the women? Maybe Mary? Mary Magdalene? For my money, the third and maybe the most second important person in the New Testament is a man we generally regard as a sidekick, an appendage, a behind-the-scenes supporting actor. And yet, I believe when the early church gathered in heaven and looked around at each other, they looked at this person and said, "You were the glue. You were the person who held us all together." I suggest to you a person that may in some ways have been the most important Christian in the church was a man simply known by the name of Joe. We don't even know him by his real name. But Joe did with his money what he did with his life. He poured it out. When the church was in some financial difficulty, he went and sold a field, brought the proceeds, laid it at the apostles' feet, and they nicknamed him Barnabas, the son of encouragement. Because what he did with his money, he did with his whole life and his faith. He poured it out and he gave courage unto others, strength unto others. There is no record in the Bible of Barnabas doing anything supernatural. He never raised anyone from the dead. He never healed anyone instantly. And yet, he practiced a ministry that was vital to the church, a ministry that any of us can do. A ministry of presence. He simply was there when people needed him. And he gave courage to them. He gave strength to them. And whenever the church seemed to be falling apart, Barnabas held them together. When the first deacon, Stephen, was stoned to death and many Christians fled Jerusalem under persecution, someone stayed and rallied them and held the Christians together. Barnabas. When some of these Christians who had spread to Antioch were preaching the gospel and Gentiles started receiving it and chaos ensued, who was sent to bring calm to the chaos? Barnabas. When the early church threatened to split over the question of Gentile membership, who was the voice who argued for liberalizing the membership policies so that everyone could participate? Barnabas. When that Jerusalem church fell into destitution, beset by famine and poverty, who spearheaded an effort to bring them hunger relief and funds? Paul and Barnabas. But in Acts, Barnabas is listed first. Whenever there were controversies, whenever there were people in difficulty or trouble, Barnabas shows up as the glue, the spiritual glue to hold people together and to give them courage and strength. And his is a ministry that any of us can emulate, and all of us ought to. When you give courage to people, when you encourage them, what do? Often you give love and respect to people who don't think they deserve it. Often you give affirmation to those who don't even affirm themselves. think of a young man, young businessman, whose business went bankrupt. And to try to pay back his creditors, he was trained as a surveyor, but one of his creditors was too impatient, and he sued him and won a judgment against him. And so this young man had to put his surveying equipment up for auction. And the day of the auction came, he was too depressed to go. He didn't have any money to buy it back with. And so he stayed at home. Imagine his surprise when a friend showed up that afternoon with his surveying equipment, having spent $125 of his own money to restore it to this young man. The young man asked, "Why would you do that? Why would you help me?" And the man replied, "I believe in you. And I believe you will one day do great things." I wonder if that man had not stepped forward in that act of encouragement, if we ever really would have heard of the career of Abraham Lincoln. Someone believed in him when he did not believe in himself. Barnabas practices a ministry of reconciliation, of resurrection, of reclamation. I sometimes think he is the second most important in the New Testament, because without him, we might ever not have even heard of Paul. Sure, Paul had this Damascus Road experience. Yes, Ananias had given him his sight. Yes, he had felt called by God to be the apostle to the Gentiles. But when he came to Jerusalem to meet the other Christian leaders, nobody would receive him. Nobody trusted him. Nobody believed him. Nobody would welcome him. This amazing young man, full of potential, almost went unused. Until, says Luke in Acts 9, Barnabas went and took Paul by hand and brought him to the Christian leaders and introduced him around. And they accepted him because they trusted Barnabas' judgment. And by his championing of Paul, Paul's career was launched. You see, when I said Paul didn't do any, Barnabas didn't do any miraculous things, that's not really true. He may not have resurrected anyone from the dead, but he resurrected careers. You and I can do the same. Find someone who's lonely and estranged and speak a word of invitation and inclusion. You might just resurrect them. Find someone whose self-image is destroyed, whose dignity has been lost. Speak a word of encouragement. You might just find reconciliation effected. You may resurrect that person. Find someone despondent and speak a word of hope to their despair. You might just resurrect them. There are people around us that we know have messed up, maybe, made some poor choices. They've lost their sense of self-worth. Maybe what they need is one of us to go to them and to say, "It is okay. God is not finished with you. Don't quit. Don't quit. God can make something of you yet." When we speak such a word of encouragement, we may just resurrect a life. Barnabas' word of encouragement reclaimed people from the edges. You probably don't realize this. There's a little verse, I believe in Acts 11, end of Acts 9,
where the church realizes Paul is too hot to handle in Damascus. They spirit him out of the city and they put him on a ship to Tarsus back home. And there he stays for 2 years, unused, uninvited, unincluded, forgotten.
For 2 years, who reclaims him? Barnabas.
Barnabas hops a ship, sails to Tarsus, finds Paul and says, "You're coming back with me to help me work in Antioch."
And Paul's life is reclaimed. Can't we do that as ministers, as deacons, as Sunday school teachers, as regular Christians? Can't we see those on the edges, the unincluded, and reclaim them for the people of God?
It's not always easy. They don't always accept our overtures, believe me. I know that very well.
And yet, encouragement often entails discouragement.
I think of a young man named John Mark, whom Barnabas and Paul included on their first missionary journey. And about halfway out, John Mark got homesick and scared. And he skedaddled back to Jerusalem and home. Next time it was time to take a second missionary journey, Barnabas said, "Let's take John Mark. He wants to go." And Paul's attitude, "No. No, he skipped out on us one time. I'm not trusting him again."
But Barnabas saw in John Mark the seedbed of a young man who could grow in faith. Barnabas encouraged John Mark just the same way he encouraged Paul.
And when Paul said, "Choose the weakling or choose me,"
Barnabas chose the weakling. And he went one direction with the gospel, and Paul and Silas went another. Because Barnabas was his nature to encourage those who had failed but could grow.
As I said to you a few weeks ago, one of my former churches had a covenant that was very important to us. And in that covenant, we said these words: "We will love and encourage each other in the family of the church, admonish each other as occasion may require, but our differences will not separate us, but rather increase our understanding and strengthen the bonds of Christian love." It is our role as Christians to give courage unto each other, to nourish each other with love and support. I don't think Paul ever really understood Barnabas's genius, because Barnabas understood that ultimately the basis of Christian faith is not ideological, but relational. Paul even has a catty reference to Barnabas in Galatians. It says, "Barnabas is too close to the Judaizers," those conservative Christians who didn't want the Gentiles to be accepted. Paul couldn't realize that Barnabas had a gift for maintaining relationship even with those with whom he disagreed. Barnabas was able to maintain close relations with James and the Judaizers, who were the most conservative Christians, and Paul and Apollos, the most liberal, and vacillating Peter in the middle, because he realized for the church to move forward, everyone had to work together. He realized in moments of crisis, what would most matter was not rightness of perspective, but depth of relationship. Barnabas had a gift that Paul did not, a gift for depth of relationship that was able to encourage everyone, even with those with whom he disagreed. When I was in seventh grade, my parents moved to a new town, new city, new school. And I didn't know anybody and was spent the whole first year kind of trying to find my way. And was sort of a nobody until track came along. And they found that I was fast. And so I'm anchoring the mile relay and I'm trying to chase a couple guys down. And all of a sudden I hear this voice yell, "Move it, Krimmer. You can do it. Go." And I look over, because not that many people knew my name. And there was the head track coach and the head football coach of the junior high yelling, "Move it, Krimmer. I know you can do it." And I thought, wow, he knows my name. And those very words gave me strength and speed. I don't know if that coach is still alive, but his words are still alive. His words are still alive in my head. We're called as Christians to speak words of encouragement and affirmation that give strength unto each other. And when we do so, we practice a Barnabas ministry on behalf of Jesus Christ, on behalf of the kingdom of God, and on behalf of this family. When we give courage to others, we become a Barnabas ourselves. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, give us the recognition that often it is our word of invitation and inclusion and our expenditure of grace and encouragement that can be a spiritual gift beyond measure. May it inspire commitment and courage and generosity and faith. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.